With that, let's open up to Luke chapter 2. Let's read from verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And in the Gospel of Matthew, you can flip there, chapter 2 also. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They were saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For I have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. But they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are you not the least of the rulers of Judah? For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your coming. Lord, thank you so much for staying with us. And thank you so much for being with us even now. Thank you so much that you are always with us. Lord, you came to stay. You came to reign. You came to shepherd us. You came to redeem us. You came to free us from sin. And Lord, we gather looking back that humble day, humble night, when you came. And our response is one of worship, Lord. We've come here to worship you. We've come here to adore you, Lord. To raise our voices, lift up our hands and hearts, and offer our bodies to you, Lord, our King. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about Christmas and the events around Christmas, it is very, first of all, amazing, humbling, and the contrasts that you see paints a really beautiful story. from shepherds in the field to angels in the sky, the wise men from the east and Herod who wanted to kill the newborn king, Mary and Joseph having to move over 80 miles. Now, this was really advanced pregnancy here. She didn't have to go to be registered. It was the men who were supposed to be registered for tax. But nevertheless, it works out that they went together, and in Bethlehem, the baby would be born. Now, this is a royal baby. This is royal birth. But only few know what is exactly happening. I think about the royal birth traditions in the English monarchy. Of course, they know the sex of the baby. They know everything. And on the day the baby is born, oh, it's a boy, oh, it's a girl, and everything that follows. This is a royal baby. The greatest gift ever is almost going unnoticed. Do you see the story? Just a normal day in Bethlehem. Men getting counted so that the emperor would be able to tax all of them. They were looking for some place to just have the night. Obviously, a crowded area. There is no room. The least they could find is a place for cows. Now, you've seen so many paintings of this scene, the nativity scene. And most of them are actually far from the truth. You see very nicely, maybe tiled floor and a glowing sunrise or a glowing orange sunset. Decently dressed Joseph and the Catholic one, baby Jesus with a glow, like he's a torch. Ordinary day. This was grass for him to sleep on, pieces of clothes to wrap him, keep him warm. I'm sure Joseph is thinking, God, this is really your son. Couldn't you have done better, right? We're all here. We don't even have a place to live. But this is not any other baby. This is the King of the Jews. This is our King. And I love the response of the wise men. When everybody missed it, of course the shepherds didn't, got the announcement from the angel. But while everybody thought, oh, it's just a normal census happening, oh, another baby born out there, Christ the King is born. A mix of heavenly royalty with poor humanity. A mix of dignified Arabs from the east carrying the most precious of gifts for the king. This is shepherds out there thinking, oh, it's just another night, we need to keep our sheep safe. And yet there's a grand announcement, it's not just another night. It's a unique night. A king is born. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is not just another baby. This is the King. This is the Mighty God, this is the everlasting King here. This is our Wonderful Counselor. This is the Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 1, Mary was told he will be great. Luke chapter 1, verses 32 to 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. For some people, Jesus remains a baby lying in a manger all year round. And they pay him a visit once a year, around this time. I can imagine these wise men, dignified, And this entering, just marching in where Jesus was, is that maybe over a year since he was born. And can you imagine these men just bowing down? And they must have obviously attracted a lot of attention wherever they passed. Where are these men from? Of course, they could tell they're strangers. They've traveled hundreds of miles. They saw a star, and probably following the prophecies of Daniel, they knew this is a unique star, Star of Bethlehem. In fact, the Jewish flag, the Israeli flag, is actually a star. And they come and down they bow. Gifts they present. Shepherds hearing the announcement, they go out to find this baby. They knew he's the king. The angels told them. I assume they probably took along some sheep, right? For the king. That's all they had. A king is born, and so he deserves worship. The wise men sought him to worship him. Not just to come and admire the birth scene, not just to congratulate Joseph and Mary for their baby. They came to bow down. And not just to bow down, to present him gifts worthy of a king. The news of the born Savior is one that caused the shepherds to leave their sheep. There was something more important to do, to go worship the king. And they leave off rejoicing, praising, and honoring God for what had happened. The angels worshipped. The shepherds and the wise men worshipped. They knew more than a good number of people today. And yet they lived generations ago. The king deserves worship, doesn't he? Even when he's a baby. Well, he's no longer a baby. Is he still in the manger? No. He's no longer a carpenter. He's not making furniture in Israel anymore. He's the one who would give sight to the blind. The one who would heal the sick, the crippled. The one who walked on water. The one the storms obeyed. Remember how his disciples were wondering, who is this who even the storms obey? It's the one who fed the hungry. The one who brought back the dead to life. The one who loved you and me so deeply and so sacrificially and so unconditionally, who would end up on the cross. He would die there, would be buried, would rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, and is the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything can pass by on Christmas, but not the worship of the King. And that happens not only around Christmas time, it should happen every day. It's looking for the King to bow down before him. I'd like to challenge us to live a life of worship to the King, to give him the best of our mind, the best of our hearts, best of our thoughts, the best of our feet and hands, the best of our body, to crown him with many crowns, to bring him gold, frankincense. He already died, doesn't need mine anymore. We need to join the angels in singing him praise. Glory to God in the highest, they sang. And on earth, goodwill towards men. Like the wise men, to daily fall before him, to kneel, to bow, to honor, to revere, to respect him. If there is anything that is satisfying to our soul, it's the worship of God. And you know that you'll go home, eat. In the morning, you'll be hungry again. The decorations will come down, and life will be back to normal. The one thing that should not change is our worship of our King. We do it anywhere and everywhere. We should join the shepherds rejoicing and praising God for what we know, worshiping Him for who He is. In 1 Chronicles chapter 18, chapter 16 actually, verse 29. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Even in that feeding trough, the dirty floor, smelly cows. He is our King. I love that also His birth just brings all the extremes together and all people together. From all over, those who are far off, those who are near, just around where He was born. Those who are in the palace and those who are in the fields, the shepherds. Would we commit to worshiping the Lord in the beauty of His holiness as His church and His body? Think about Psalm 99, verse 5. Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. The psalmist writes. Exalt Him. Put Him in the highest place possible in your life. Give Him priority. Bow down before Him. Kneel. Go down at His footstool. He is holy, the psalmist writes. I think about Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. This was really God's judgment scene. The last events to happen on this planet. God just pouring down His judgment. Preserving those who had believed in Him. An angel flies around. This is what the angel says. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7. Then I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, springs of water. The angel, this is the most chaotic time ever that we'll ever know of, described in the Bible. If there are those who hadn't heard the gospel at this time, they hear the gospel through an angel. And Eddie hinted, if there's anybody who does not know Jesus yet, it's a good day to ask Him to come into life. And for those who have not even heard the gospel this day, an angel preaches to them. He tells them Jesus is the only way, truth, life. To every nation, tongue, tribe, and people, He tells them, fear God, respect God, revere God, give glory to Him. Give Him credit. It's judgment time. And after the King had been born, after all the miracles that happened in His life, after He had died on the cross, after He had risen, ascended, He shows up a second time as a judge. And even at that time, there is still opportunity to know Him as King. The hour of His judgment has come. And even that time, you know what He deserves and asks for? It is worship. Worship Him who made heaven and earth and the sea, the springs of water. As we go around this day, around a nice meal, around an event with family, with friends, strangers on a journey, wherever your day will take you, and whatever experience you're going to have today, there's just one thing that is fit for a king. It is worship. He's on the throne of David. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the ruler of all the earth. Glory be to his name. Sing him praises. Sing him songs of adoration. I'm talking about gold. Of course, a good number of people use this text to kind of just take advantage of their people. See, the wise men brought him gold, so bring all your gold here. God doesn't allow coins. It's actually paper. Which is better, paper or coin? Well, leather. But truth is, it's the heart. If the wise men didn't have any gold, the shepherds didn't have any sheep, Joseph and Mary had nothing, it's just one thing that we can all give, all of us. Adoration. Just as we are, bowing down before him is the only thing the king deserves. And in him, we are most satisfied. There's nothing more. Exalt the Lord our God. Let's worship him at his footstool. Let's give God the glory due to his name. Let's give ourselves to him as an offering. Let's go before him. Let's gather together. Let's continue gathering together just to adore him. Nothing more. Just raise our voices like the angels and sing. We can look back through this year and we have more reasons to honor him. Everything that has happened was orchestrated by him. And if we just even had to take our eyes off him, we look at what he has done, and don't you think he deserves worship? Look at the things he's done, and look at him in his glory, in his beauty, in his majesty. Let's live to exalt our King. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Let's crown him with many crowns. Let's sing for him. And let's continuously give ourselves to him. Lord, we thank you so much for, again, your coming. Lord, you're not a baby anymore. You're not a teenager anymore. You're not a carpenter anymore. You are a king. You were a king at your birth, and a king you are always. There's nothing we can give you apart from adoration. Our hearts and minds, our bodies, Lord. Just kneeling before you. Just adoring you. Just bowing before you. Lord, undressing ourselves of all this human dignity and crowning you with many crowns, Lord. But we look at you, and you deserve all the glory, honor, adoration. We look at everything that you do, everything that you made, all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, you've redeemed us. You've set us free, Lord. You've loved us so deeply. You provided for us, Lord. You have protected us. And for all those, we say thank you in adoration. And as we go out, Lord, wherever we will be, may we always bow before you. In Jesus' name, amen. A very Merry Christmas.